Everyone? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can open your Bibles anywhere you want to. My text this morning will be the Holy Bible. You can open it anywhere you want to because the Bible says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I just want to talk about Jesus this morning during this beautiful time of the year. So many are celebrating the supposed birthday of Jesus. And so, if I had a text, I guess it would be Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, plural, he shall be called a Nazarene. You can search the scriptures and you will not find where any prophet said he shall be called a Nazarene. Is that a mistake? No. That's the general gist of all the scriptures. That this man in the days of his flesh would be the humblest man, the meekest man that ever walked this earth. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And I read something a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago, from David Wilkerson. His article, The World's Most Unwanted Man. Well, I'd like to pick up that little theme this morning. He shall be called a Nazarene. And I'd like to talk for a few moments about the world's most unwanted man. And that's Jesus. Excuse me. We have a lot of unwanted situations in the world today. We have unwanted babies. We know that. They're killing millions of them because they're unwanted. I've had people argue with me over that and say that, no, they want happiness for them and they're not going to have happiness, so they're better off dead and so on. But we have a situation in the world today where babies, a lot of babies, are unwanted, unplanned for, uncared for, etc. And not only killed by abortion, but how many of them are left on doorsteps? You've read those stories. I've read those stories. Baby found on doorstep by a loving mother who says, please take care of this child. A loving mother says, please take care of this child. Okay, and then we have, you got that. Then we have unwanted children. They're just plain neglected. They're not brought to Sunday school. They're not brought to church. They're not read the Bible to. They're not fed properly, etc. It just goes on and on. Unwanted children in the world. You see children grow up roaming the streets. You see them living in cardboard boxes and in large cities and maybe even in our own city if we had our eyes open. It's a problem we don't want. It's a problem society probably doesn't want, but nevertheless, we have it. We have these unwanted people. You and I are here today. Most of us have a place to sleep, food to eat, parents, children, loved ones, family, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be a normal Christian family. We are blessed, folks. We are blessed. Amen. If you've been reading the stories about people on the streets, no home, no dad, no mom, no brother, no sister, just alone out there, neglected. And I know there's two sides to that story. But you'll have to admit with me that there are a lot of unwanted children, unwanted people in the world. How about the unwanted wife or husband? You have a quarrel with your husband, you have a quarrel with your wife, and then you start talking about separation, then you start talking about divorce, and then you don't want that mate anymore. And you read some stories in the papers, hear it on the radio, where they ended up in murder, not just unwanted physically or in your presence, but unwanted on earth. So you just go ahead in a fit of anger and kill them. Or maybe a husband ignores his wife, or a wife ignores her husband, and it's just unwanted. It's an unwanted situation. And I talked before about Roy Campanella, that famous Brooklyn Dodgers catcher. When the ball team was in Brooklyn, I was in the Army at that time, in Brooklyn myself. That's why I know about this story, because I'm not a sports enthusiast at all. But anyway, Roy Campanella had an automobile accident, and he was paralyzed from the waist down, and according to his wife, he was no good to her anymore, and so she divorced him. He was unwanted. Perform or get out, you know, unwanted. That's the world today. Unwanted children, unwanted wife, unwanted husband. Now we have another segment of society that's slowly but surely becoming unwanted, and we're all headed for that group, and that's the elderly. The elderly. We're coming to a time when the elderly are unwanted. They're costing the government too much money. All this care, and nursing home care, and the insurance problem, and the health problems in America are so great that they don't really know what to do. And so, if you think Dr. Kevorkian from Michigan is really being sought after by the law enforcement and government and so on, I don't really know about that. I don't know, not yet. I just don't know yet. It seems to me, if I remember right, they introduced the thought of euthanasia years ago, and we all just shrunk and shivered when we heard it. But it's coming now. It's coming now. You know they're heading for it. They're talking about it. And if we're reading truth when we read about how they started with abortion, and then it goes to this, and it goes to this, and it goes to this, and it reaches the elderly. Just think of what young people could do with the elderly's money if we could just get rid of the elderly. And so that's what they're thinking of. We could probably balance the national budget, and the country wouldn't be in debt anymore. But no, they won't balance the budget, and the country will be in worse debt when they do that, because there's a God in heaven who cares. And He's looking down on what's going on here on earth. And He loves the elderly, and He has a reason for the elderly, and He has a reason for the poor. And He said, the poor you shall always have with you. Lyndon Johnson or Bill Clinton or anybody, nobody is going to solve the poverty problem on earth. Amen. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always.
Amen.
So, and it's not the big problem they think it is. They have made it a problem.
Yes.
If they would just keep families intact,
amen,
the problem would take care of itself.
Yes.
But they let the family deteriorate and fall apart, and so here we are with this gigantic mess on our hands. And so we have what they call euthanasia, and it's looming before us. It's really here. But as lonely and as unwanted as children are, or a husband is, or a wife is, or the elderly are becoming, or the handicapped and sick, and so on, no matter how unwanted those different segments of society are, there was nobody that was unwanted like the Lord Jesus. He was the world's most unwanted man. I agree with Billy Graham, David Wilkerson on that. A little poem says, I'm sorry, I have no room. When Joseph came to the inn that night, he was tired, weary, and worn. And Mary, his wife, was weary too, her child about to be born. The innkeeper told them, I have no room, and started to send them away. But wait, he called, I think I can help, though it's only a barn with some hay. They said they'd be grateful for even a barn, at least it was some place to stay. Then Joseph thanked the innkeeper as he settled his wife in the hay. The stars seemed to shine that first Christmas night as they never had shone before. And as Jesus came into the world for us, they seemed to shine even more. Shepherds strayed to the manger scene, worshiping as they came. Three wise men were led from the Orient far, searching to do the same. It wasn't exactly the place for a king. Why, it wasn't even the inn. No, out in the barn, in a manger poor, he was born to take away sin. The innkeeper had no room that night. I wonder, how about you? If Jesus asked for a place in your heart, what do you think you would do? For you know someday when life is past and you stand at the door of the inn, the Lord may look at you sadly there and you'll hear these words from him. I have no room. I'm sorry, my friend. I'm truly sorry to say I have no room. He'll tell you once more, then turn and send you away. Depart from me, all you that work iniquity, all you that have no room for me. Surely Jesus was the, when he was on earth, was the world's most unwanted man. Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. I'll never forget this last general conference, the best general conference that I ever attended in Salt Lake City, 1992. And of course, if I was choosing a night, if I could only go to one night, I would. If I would have known in advance, I would have chosen the night Brother Kilgore spoke, and I was there that night and every night. But anyway, when Brother Kilgore was up speaking that night, a very sober man, gray-haired, older man, he stood and he said, Jesus was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And then he went on through the Gospels and he said, King Herod killed all children, 2 years old and younger, that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof because Jesus was unwanted by King Herod. Jesus, upon entering his ministry, Brother Kilgore continued, as his custom was, attended his hometown synagogue on the Sabbath day, and after reading and commenting on the scriptures, was unwanted. You remember how that he read some scriptures and he made some comments on them? They took him out of the city of Nazareth to the brow of a hill, and they were going to push him over headlong. They wanted to kill this man. They wanted to destroy him. He was unwanted in his hometown. He was unwanted in the little village of Nazareth. Then Brother Kilgore went on and told about Legion and how Jesus restored Legion to his right mind. And after he did that, and after the demons went into the swine and choked in the sea, they wanted to get rid of Jesus. They told him to get out, get out, get out. They didn't want him to do any more miracles. They'd rather have Jesus gone and the crazy man in the tomb screaming, cutting himself and maybe hurting people. They'd rather have that than have Jesus there. It's incredible to believe that people could think that way, but they do. And the Bible says, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And then in John 7:1, after Jesus had in John 5 healed a man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day, mind you, they hated him and they wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. And so the Bible says in John 7:1, then after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Here's a man that's going around like a hunted animal, trying to avoid death everywhere because he was unwanted. Unwanted. Luke 9. Brother Kilgore went on, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up on the cross, received up into glory. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And so to get to Jerusalem, which was in Judea, he had to go from Galilee through Samaria. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. He was unwanted, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And there was a little rift, of course, between the Samaritans and the Jews. Then at his last Passover, Jesus attended his last Passover, recorded in Matthew 26, verses 1 through 4. It says, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. He was the world's most unwanted man. He healed and was hated. He healed and he was hunted. Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day, recorded in Matthew 12. Verse 14 says, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. He raised a dead man, Lazarus. They wanted to kill Jesus for raising Lazarus, and not only that, but they wanted to kill Lazarus also, the Bible says. Any proof, any fruit of Jesus, let's destroy it, let's get rid of it. That's why they want to kill Christians. That's why we have such a record in the book of Acts. They don't like Jesus. God haters, Christ haters, destroy him. Jesus, the world's most unwanted man. He cried, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. They did not want him. You would not. He was unwanted. His altar calls were ridiculed. You would not, they said. I think the Apostle John sums it all up in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Can you imagine that? Here's the creator of the universe, and They don't want him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, finally, they had success. They had great success, they thought. They brutally beat him. They crucified him. They crucified this wonderful man. They crucified the loneliest man that ever lived, the unwanted man. I cannot help but read that poem by Brother Kenneth Phillips. I read it recently. Let me read it again. It just does something to me. This is about the world's most unwanted man. When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through his hands and his feet, and they made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns, and red were his wounds and deep. For those were cruel, cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. And I changed the city. But when Jesus came to Eau Claire, they simply passed him by. They never heard a hair of him. They only let him die. For men had grown more tender, and they would not give him pain. They only passed down the street, left him in the rain. Still Jesus cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And still it rained, the winter rain that chilled him through and through. And the crowds came and went home and left him in the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against the wall and longed for Calvary. Can I prove that? Matthew chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Let me out of here. How long shall I suffer you? Calvary, Calvary, my only way to heaven, Calvary." He longed for Calvary. Can you believe that? What a poem. The loneliest man that ever lived on this earth. The good news is that he's not lonely anymore. He ascended into heaven, totally victorious. He's begun a family now, a family of believers, a family of people who love him, a family of people who have time for him, a family of people who have room for him. Praise the Lord. Oh, he's longing to come back and receive us to himself. But he's not the loneliest man in the world anymore. He has a family on earth. Praise God. He's very interested in what's going on down here. Now Jesus is in heaven. Yet he remains the world's most unwanted man. He's in heaven, but he's still the world's most unwanted man. And when he comes again, he will still be the world's most unwanted man. The Bible says in the last book, chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." It didn't say they would rejoice because of him. It says all kindreds of the earth will wail because of him. You can see them trying to spit at him. You can see them trying to unload their cannons at him. You can see them shaking their fists in his face and cursing him. That's what the Bible says. Read the book of Revelation again and again. You'll get this same picture that I am painting for you this morning. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." I think they're going to tremble and shake too because of him, because they'll be powerless in his presence. Hallelujah. I once saw a picture of the man Jesus standing outside the United Nations building in New York City. I've been there. I've been up in that New York United Nations building. I've taken visitors there when I was stationed in New York City in the Army. And so I've been in there several times. I've sat at the tables and put on the different earphones with the different languages and so you could understand what's being said. They had interpreters for everyone. But I saw that picture of Jesus standing outside on, 42nd Street, New York City, New York. And they're knocking. He's knocking at the door. "Let me in. Let me in. I am the Prince of Peace. I can solve the world's problems." But he was unwanted. Unwanted. They never did let him in to the United Nations building. No, Jesus was standing on the outside knocking. Most of us have seen the popular picture of Jesus standing outside the door with no handle on the outside. just the inside, and Jesus is standing there knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. But no, he's unwanted by so many multitudes. Unwanted, the world's most unwanted man. And you and I witness to others. You and I feel this responsibility and obligation to tell other people about Jesus and his great love for them. But we're living in a world that's always been like this. We witness to others and they say, no thank you, we don't want him. We don't want him in our house. We don't want him in our family. We don't want him in our marriage. We don't want him. And they have made him the world's most unwanted man. You know what I'm talking about. You that have witnessed to other people. You know how many? It's so refreshing when somebody has a hunger for the gospel. It's so refreshing. Just absolutely refreshing. Jesus himself would just stop and say, I have meat to eat that you know not of. This is so refreshing. I would rather witness to this infamous woman. I would rather witness to this woman who's had five husbands and is now living with a man outside of marriage. I'd rather deliver her from her sin than eat with my own disciples. I have meat to eat that you know not of. So refreshing to find somebody that's hungry. I don't know if you've gone door to door like I have. I don't know if you've been in the prisons like I have. I don't know if you've stood on street corners like I have. I don't know if you've just witnessed and witnessed. I hope you have to people. And it's so refreshing when you find somebody that wants a little something that you're offering them from the Word of God. It's fantastic. And I hear a lot of amens out there, so I'm sure that you are about your Father's business. Yes, those that we witness to say unwanted. And our government is saying unwanted. They're saying no creches on public property. They're saying away with the manger scene in public places. A nation that was founded on God and His Word, on the principles of Scripture, has now turned Him away. And they say He's unwanted. We have education now. We have better ways and methods and technology, and we don't need this old-fashioned gospel way. Away with prayer in public schools. Give us health clinics. We'll solve our problems. We don't need to pray. They've even tried to say away with "In God We Trust" on our money. No, there was no room in the inn, and there's no time in the mind for Jesus. And now down to that article by David Wilkerson, of which I will only read a few excerpts as I go along here. The world's most unwanted man, this is back in 1988. The world's most unwanted man is alive today. He's not dead. And I'm going to drop down. And some of these things have changed. For instance, Russia. There's been a big change in Russia since 1988. But I'm going to read his 1988 report anyway so you can see what he said. Without a doubt, the world's most unwanted man is Jesus, Son of the Living God. In Moscow's Red Square, there are gigantic pictures of Lenin, Stalin, and other communist leaders all draped in red velvet. They ought to hang another picture in Red Square, a picture of Jesus Christ draped in black sackcloth with these words beneath it, the most unwanted man in Russia, Jesus. But look what's happened. Isn't it wonderful what's happened? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you go to England, to the halls of Parliament, or to the great English cathedrals, you'll see all the pictures of past kings and queens. Some were loved, some were hated, but there too a picture is missing. There ought to be hung where all Englishmen could see it. A huge picture of Jesus with the caption, "England's most unwanted man." Or go to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and look at all the portraits of past presidents on Capitol Hill in the halls of Congress. Seeing the memorials to Lincoln and Washington, there ought to be a special monument built with nothing in it but a picture of Jesus and these words, "This man is the true father of America. He planted, watered, and prospered it, but today he is this society's most unwanted man." Let's go a step further into the libraries and classrooms of almost any seminary in America. Listen to the godless, Christ-hating theologians. Look at the books of higher criticism, how they delight in robbing and destroying faith. Or walk into the great cathedrals and look at the stained glass windows with Jesus pictured on almost all of them. Then hear their so-called gospel. It is not the real Jesus they preach, but another. Why won't they be honest? They ought to put a bronze plaque under those stained glass pictures of Jesus that reads, "Unwanted." Jesus was born a Jew, but the Jews did not want him, nor do they now. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. How can the modern day Jew hate Jesus so much? He is the son of David. He loved Israel. He came to fulfill all their laws. Today, Jesus probably could not get a visa to Israel. It is likely he would be denied citizenship. They would stamp on his passport unwanted. Indeed, his own received him not. We know all too well that the secular world doesn't want him. Jesus is the song of drunkards. Here on Broadway, Jesus is surely the world's most unwanted man of all, and he tells all about that. And then the last paragraph I want to read, even the religious world doesn't want him. I believe Jesus is most unwanted by backslidden, corrupt church leaders, by liberal church organizations, and by compromising, lust-ridden Christians. I propose to you that we fill behind in worshiping the Lord Jesus. How can we make up for all of those that are saying unwanted? We can say, Jesus, we want you. We can lift our hands in form of thunder and say, Jesus, we want you. Hallelujah. While they're cursing your name, we're blessing your name, Lord. When they say, away with him, crucify him, we can say, Jesus, come and live in me. We can offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Our love for Jesus is unwanted in public places. But this morning, we are in his living room, his parlor. We're in his sanctuary. And we can lift our hands. We're shut in with God, saints. Would you like to do it just for a moment? Jesus, we want you. Jesus, we love you. You're going to think I'm changing the subject. I'm not. I'll be back to it in a few minutes. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as he, Jesus, spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Did you get that? What an honor it must have been to be the mother of Jesus. Only one virgin could have that honor. Of all the virgins in Israel, only one could have that glorious honor of being the human, biological mother of the Lord Jesus. Only one could be that physical mother of Jesus. What an honor. Oh yes, and it was an honor. For from henceforth shall all generations call me blessed. Amen. That's in the Bible. It's not a Catholic scripture. There are no Catholic scriptures. Let me repeat. There are no oneness scriptures. There are no Trinity scriptures. There are no Baptist scriptures in the Bible. There are no Lutheran scriptures in the Bible. There are no Pentecostal scriptures in the Bible. The Bible has holy scriptures. That's all it has. Holy scriptures. Praise the Lord. Oh, we need to learn that and get that down well. Amen. And we'll find ourselves fellowshipping with a lot of people who don't think exactly like we do because we think we have a monopoly on something, or they think they have a monopoly on something. No. The scriptures are holy scriptures, not denominational scriptures. Is that a revelation? Cherish it. Amen. So only one fair maiden, only one virgin girl in all Judea could be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fantastic. And now, this lady, while Jesus is speaking, interrupts him and says, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. More blessed? More blessed than Mary? May I remind you that Mary didn't have Jesus and lay down and go to sleep. Mary was in the upper room. Yes. Mary was there when they were talking in tongues. Yes. Mary was filled with the Holy Ghost. Right. Mary was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Mary spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave her utterance. It's recorded. Yes. Not in Pentecostal scriptures, in Holy Scriptures. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So only one could be the physical mother of the Lord Jesus. But whosoever will may say, Be it unto me according to thy word, and be saved. Nobody has to leave this church today unsaved. It's not that you can't be because Mary was and she's the only one that could be. No. you can say, I'm going to hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So whosoever will may say, be it unto me according to thy word, and be saved. Hallelujah. We're still talking about the world's most unwanted man.
Yes.
Even the loneliest man in the world when he was here. When Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel, she showed perfect submission. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. There was no clashing of wills there. There was no unbelieving arguments. No, Mary just said, be it unto me. I'll bear the stigma. I'll chance losing Joseph. But be it unto me according to thy word. You know, when you're in the presence of an angel, it might be a little easier to say that than after the angel leaves.
Right.
I like the Apostle Paul, who at the end of his journey, standing before King Agrippa, he said, yeah, I was persecuting the church. I was on the road outside Damascus, and the light brighter than the noonday sun shone upon us, and we all fell to the earth. I was blind 3 days. And I said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And now he's standing before King Agrippa all these years later, all this suffering later, shipwrecks, being beaten with rods and 195 love stripes across his back. Suffered. He stands before King Agrippa and he says, I was not disobedient under the heavenly vision. Hallelujah. And now we have Mary in the presence of the angel Gabriel saying, be it unto me according to thy word. But Simeon prophesied, remember, and a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. There's going to be suffering associated with being related to the Lord Jesus, whether it's that physical relationship or our spiritual relationship. She had both. Hallelujah. So Mary didn't argue, she didn't debate, she just said, be it unto me according to thy word. And she did. She took a chance on losing Joseph, but the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, because he was minded to put her away privily, remember. And I think she must have also said, I'll chance having a baby out of wedlock. I'll chance being ostracized by my family. I'll chance being ostracized by society and by my friends. But she gave a positive response to the word of God. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Not just the glory be unto me, but the shame, the embarrassment, the reproach. Be it unto me according to thy word. Now Mary seemed to have at least a little wonderment. She didn't have the doubt that Zacharias had when he was struck dumb by the angel and not able to speak until the baby was born. But Mary did ask, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I've never been with a man. How in the world can I have a baby? But she wasn't saying, well, I can't have a baby. I've never known man. She didn't say that. She didn't have that attitude. Not at all. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. But I like Gabriel's answer. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Gabriel's answer was, the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Yes.
The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Nicodemus asked a similar question when Jesus talked to him about being born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. How can these things be? How can I be a new creation? How can I give birth to a child, to a baby, without having known a man? The Holy Ghost is the answer.
Hallelujah.
How can I be born again the second time? Crawl back into my mother's womb and come out again? No, the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Yes.
So, friend, do you want to be saved today? Don't look at all the problems. Look at the power.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Right.
The Holy Ghost.
Right.
You come to this altar. You yield yourself to the Spirit of God. You just lift your hands and say, be it unto me according to thy word. And you accept becoming child of the world's most unwanted man. Hallelujah. Do you want the Holy Ghost? You don't have to go another day without the Holy Ghost. It's up to you, friend. It's up to you. It's not up to him. It's up to you. What was up to him, he's already provided. He's already provided it. You have to say, be it unto me according to thy word. I'll take the persecution that comes from being a Christian. I'll become the world's loneliest man in Eau Claire, or the world's most unwanted woman in Eau Claire. Just be it unto me according to thy word, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. You go away from this place after having made that commitment with the power of God in your life and salvation. Hallelujah. So if you want to be saved, then say with Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. Come and say, behold the handmaid of the Lord. You don't come and say, behold the queen of heaven. Fill me now. No. You say, and I didn't mean that as a slam. I just say that they didn't come with arrogance. Mary came with humility. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Praise the Lord. So be humble like Mary. Be willing like Mary. Be open like Mary. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open. Not if I will open the floodgates of heaven. If any man will open, I will come in unto him and eat, and will sup with him and he with me. So Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary agreed with the plan of God for her life. I think a lot of people don't have the Holy Ghost today is because they're in disagreement with God's plan for their life. They don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be reproached. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be called Jesus freak, holy roller, Bible thumper, whatever. They don't want that. No, they don't want that. They don't want to be pregnant with Jesus. Mary knew. When she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary knew that pregnant women experience discomfort at times. You ever see a pregnant woman in the summertime? Hot, sweating, fanning herself, can't cross her legs, can't bend over. Just restricted in so many ways. And Mary knew this. And yet she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary knew that pregnant women don't have the liberty to move about like other women do. I wonder if that's why some people don't have abortions. Don't disfigure my body. But Mary knew that. That pregnant women don't move around with the agility that the unpregnant woman moves around with. I mean, you're restricted when you're pregnant. You can't fit everywhere, and you can't go everywhere, and you can't jump up when you feel like it and do the things you used to do. Mary knew that pregnant women would have certain restrictions. Mary knew that before she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Yeah, but she agreed with the plan of God for her life. Mary knew that pregnant women can't walk the same as other women who are not pregnant. You know, they can't walk normal anymore. You've seen them. You've seen them walk. You've seen the difference. You see the difference in a pregnant woman and a woman that's not pregnant. You know, Mary could have said to Gabriel, go find somebody else. No stretch marks for me. I don't want stretch marks on my body. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to lose my freedom and my liberty. I don't want all those restrictions. I don't want to walk different. Angel, if you get me pregnant, I'll get an abortion. Allow me to spiritualize this story by applying the circumstances to us. God wants to get us pregnant with Jesus. God wants to get us pregnant with Jesus. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. God wants to get us pregnant with Jesus. Paul wanted those Galatians to say with Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. Paul wanted to see evidences of Christ in them. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, that begins with a seed. It begins with an impregnation. It begins with a pregnancy. We have to be impregnated with the seed, the word of God. I'm spiritualizing it now. So can we say, as Christians this morning, be it unto me according to thy word? Can we say that, or do we think, not me, go get somebody else? I don't want to be uncomfortable in this world. I don't want to be restricted. I don't want to be pregnant with Jesus and have to walk different. I don't want to lose my liberty. No stretch marks for me. I'll have an abortion. I'll get the Holy Ghost. And then I'll have an abortion. Or can we say, be it unto me according to thy word? Not according to my stipulations, not according to my conditions. Just be it unto me according to thy word. Jesus, if you being in me restricts me, nevertheless, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Jesus, if you being in me causes me to walk differently than others walk, then be it unto me according to thy word. Jesus, if you being in me causes stretch marks, then I'll bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, I ask you to impregnate me with your word, that incorruptible seed, and I'll let that word grow to maturity. I'll have no abortion. Be it unto me according to thy word. Would you stand with me this morning?